In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We hear in Psalm 43 the very voice of the Son of God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people, he says. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. There he stands in the courts of men. They do not fear God nor walk in his ways, but they hate Christ because they are not of God, but they are of the devil. They hate Christ because he upset their work righteous religion. And so they falsely arrest him and brought before him liars to testify against him, though none could agree with each other. Around him they gathered, spewing insults, for he said he was the very Son of God. They don't want this kind of God, a God who preaches law and gospel, a God who calls all, both Pharisees, Sadducees, and even the regular old people, a God who calls all to repentance and faith, a God who eats with tax collectors and forgives sinners. That is not the God that they desire. So spit flies, fists were hurled again and again, because he spoke the truth. He ate with tax collectors and sinners, touched the lepers and the dead. He healed on the Sabbath and brought the kingdom of God to men. And so they crowned him with thorns. He drove out the money changers, allowed his disciples to eat grain on the Sabbath with unwashed hands. And so they tore open his back and made their furrows long. He showed them love and they responded with deceit. He has a demon. He works by Beelzebub. He is a Samaritan. He wants to destroy the temple. They judge him in the courts of men as he longs to be judged in the court of God. Vindicate me, O God, he cries. Hold me and these unjust men against the holy commands which you have given, and see who is just and who is unjust. But the Father will not answer. He remains silent. At least he will not answer quite yet. Jesus trusted in the Father throughout all the trials, throughout the kangaroo court and in the court of the Gentiles. He remains faithful in life and in death, never wavering, but crying out to his Father, who refuses to answer. You are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? He's done everything God has asked him to do. From infancy onward, if anyone should receive the blessings and the good things of God, it should have been him. But instead, the Father turns a blind eye, pays no attention, because the Father has sent him to be the Savior of the world, so that he might have mercy on those unjust, ungodly men. So he's rejected for holding on to the truth, so that he might be sufficient for all. His kingdom is not of this world. Though he cries out, there is not yet an answer, because God so loves the world. The world gave him nothing but a wooden manger and a wooden cross to embrace him, as God remained in silence. The physical punishment pales in comparison with the emotional turmoil and the eternal punishment. The God whom he loves and whom he served day and night, whom he called his Lord and his Father, has rejected him. Blood drips from his brow in anticipation of this. The cup is hard to drink. It is not pleasant to be far away from the ones that you love, especially when you have done nothing to stoke their ire. His enemies are here have the last say. The ungodly, the unjust liars say whatever they want and do as they please, hoping to expose him as a fraud. So they pierce his hands and his feet. They hurl insult after insult while unwittingly speaking the truth that he is the very Son of God. It's no wonder that Christ calls out again and again for justice, as we hear in the Psalms. God alone saves. Jesus cries out, and there is no answer. At least, not yet. So again, the father tells the son tells the father what he should do. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into your holy hill and to your dwelling. But is that not exactly what the father is doing as he rejects his beloved son on that darkened afternoon? Sending out the light of the world to bring all men into the truth that is Christ, so they can dwell with Christ and with God in his heaven. But even so, God will also vindicate his son. He will lift him up out of the darkness of the grave, and light will fill his eyes, not stricken, but in glory. As he stands in the courts of men, he knows that the resurrection will come. He has not strayed from God's commands. So even though he dies with the sinner, he is buried with the rich. God has accepted his sacrifice. And God will raise him up on the third day as a public witness to his son's innocence. God justified Jesus when he raised him from the dead. He is the truth. The resurrection proves his divinity, it proves his innocence, it proves that he is whom he claimed to be, and that the Father has received his sacrifice for all men. Christ is risen. He lives forever. His death was for us, his resurrection was for us. And so he ascends unto the holy hill of God to dwell at the very right hand of God forever. All authority and honor and glory are his now and forever, but he uses it not for his own benefit. He uses it to bring to his Father a chosen people, so that all may honor the Father even as they honor the Son. In life, God was his joy. In death, God was his joy. And in his resurrected and ascended life, God still is his joy. As God sends forth the light of that gospel to the darkened eyes of sinful men, so they may walk in his truth, he still honors his Father, and his Father honors him. By raising him from the dead, God has forgiven Jesus the sins of the world, so now Christ may pour out that forgiveness on us. He knows all of that is coming as he stands in the courts. But sometimes it's hard to be patient. Having confessed the resurrection, Christ then puts his own soul in line with the word of God when he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Why so sad and despondent and weary? Why the constant moaning and groaning? Has Satan won? Do the enemies have the last word? Are their lies true? Will the cross be eternal? Will the grave claim its prize forever? Will Easter fail to come?" Cling to the promises of God as the ungodly muster their attack and the deceitful lies fill this world. Hope in God, for I shall yet again praise him, my salvation and my God. Christ knew full well that his Father would deliver him from death in his time and in his way, because he is his God. It is a firm and certain hope that dwells within him that carried him through the trials and the courts and the cross and even into the grave. He knew who his God was, the God who had made a promise to Abraham that he would not break. And so he knew who he was, that he was that Son of God who was sent to be Abraham's great seed so all nations might be brought to the Father. The words of Christ often echo on our lips. Vindicate me, O God. Show that we are right. Right to have trusted in Christ for eternal salvation. Right to have kept the laws of God. Judge us by faith, not by works, and grant us the gift that you give to those who believe. We see morality has spiraled. We see lies abound everywhere. There seem to be no consequences for deceit or for lies or for untruths. God looks silent and absent. His patience to us looks like inaction. But faith knows better. Faith sees the light burning brightly from Calvary for all, for God wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So to God's altar we go once more. He is our joy, he is our delight. Therefore we rebuke our despondent soul, for Jesus lives. Rebuke your weary heart, because the Father is our God. Rebuke your troubled flesh, for Jesus is your salvation. He will return on the clouds of heaven to judge the sheep and the goats, to separate the good fish from the bad fish. He will vindicate you at the resurrection of all flesh, and will welcome you into his holy hill, to his very dwelling place, to live with him forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.